children.
Going good, huh?
I think I'm okay. I think I got this.
You say you're not okay.
Yeah, no. it's not. I think I'm all right. Yesterday was fun. Just tired. The sun took a lot of energy out of me.
Dude, we were sweating out all the drinks.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah, we were getting rocks. That sun is oppressive.
Yeah. Sun's hard.
It was hot.
I'm browner now. Fucking good.
Yeah, I definitely, got the sun kind of.
Oh, shit. You got rock, too.
Yeah.
I got a whole different shade on my face.
Same.
The face off.
Good. Great.
Hey. I'm sweating my face off over here.
Oh, there you go.
Well, on that note, you guys ready to get started?
Yes.
Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
That's me.
And Phil Acevedo.
Hello.
Recording here in we go. Studio.
Sorry.
Here we go.
It's the morning delirium, Alex. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Fast and Furious meme for anybody listening.
All the Jason Momoa fans out there.
Yeah, here we
go.
In studio. Yay.
We are recording in studio. Our last formal episode of the season.
Oh, that's right.
It's been a hell of a season.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, I freaked out on Twilight on the last episode.
That's true. That was a great time.
What else happened this season?
Our 200th episode.
Yeah, that.
That's true.
And what's it? The musical, what's it called?
Repo?
Repo? That was a fun one.
Yeah. Yeah, we had quite a season.
We picked up Phil in front of him at Home Depot, and he made him our co-host.
Jesus Christ.
And he did the table work also. It's a perfect
combo.
Oh,
my God.
$20, ladies and gentlemen. Perfect.
Me too, if you get a new podcast co-host.
That's so good.
12 cents a day.
Yeah. We're just feeding his video store rental binge. That's it. That's how we're supporting.
I have these dark raccoon eyes from lack of sleep of how much producing and hosting I've been doing. Somebody give me a sandwich.
Oh,
anyway, for our last formal episode of this season, we are talking about Eyes Without a Face.
Eyes Without a Face.
Yeah. What year did this come out?
Oh, shit. 1960. My bad. I keep forgetting to put the years in these things. That's twice I've done that this season. Yeah.
From 1960. And let's just dive right into it.
Yes, please. Alex. I set you up here for first. Why don't you read out this IMDb synopsis, please?
The IMDb synopsis says, quote, a surgeon causes an accident which leaves his daughter disfigured and goes to extreme lengths to give her a new face.
That's a fucking understatement of the century.
This is an okay one.
It's also the most egotistical surgeon on the face of the planet.
Oh, yeah.
There's extreme, and then there's what this motherfucker was doing. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, recently we've become really big fans of Mr. Jean Reno. Mm-hmm. This guy kind of looks like he could be Jean Reno's dad.
He does, yes. Yeah. He actually does. Yeah. That's a very good point.
He looks like he even sounds like him when he talks and stuff. All I needed was an Elvis impression. Elvis Presley movies. He was the king. The doctor does look a lot like him. But this IMDb synopsis is fine.
Mm-hmm. I'll give it a 5.
Five is cool. It's fine.
Maybe like a boring on 4, honestly. Too simple.
Yeah.
It's a short movie, though. I get it.
It's a very short movie. It's only an hour 20, hour 30?
Hour 30.
Yeah.
It's quick.
Mm-hmm.
This was written by Jean Redon, Pierre Bouillot, Thomas
Narkajak?
Narkajak?
Maybe. I wanted you for the IMDb synopsis because it's got a lot of names in here, and you're actually pretty good with pronouncing names.
I love that you were going so French, and when you got confused, I expected you to go full country, and Thomas Narkajak.
Thomas Narkajak. directed by Georges Franjo, starring Pierre Brossier, Alida Valli, Juliette Maignel, and it did not have a budget information.
Yeah, there was not. There was just box office info.
And it made $54,399.
Yeah.
How specific that is. That's great.
But yeah.
There's... The $399, they're not going to give you the $400.
Yeah, they're
not
going to give
it. It's the French.
That's another tax break right there. their studio's like, nope, don't count it. Yeah.
Alex, why don't you keep on going a little bit? Start us off a little bit with a little plot breakdown, please.
Yes.
Yes.
The film starts off on a dark and stormy night just outside of Paris, when a woman is driving along a nearby riverbank. I love this scene, too.
It starts off really beautifully.
Yeah.
It's nice.
The woman gets out of the car to dump a lifeless body, a corpse to the uninitiated, into the river. Thank you, Phil.
It's a corpse. Dogs for the uninitiated.
Big old bag of meat and skin.
Gross. The next day, we are introduced to Dr. Genesier. He is a well-respected doctor whose daughter, Christiane, has been missing for some time now. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
I love how this film sets it up where it's just like, oh no, yeah, she's totally missing. Like, you, like, if you didn't know, like, you would, like...
Yeah.
When it's, kinda, it's believable.
Yeah, when I first saw it, I thought immediately thought that was the daughter that was being dumped in the river in the very beginning. And I was like, oh, okay, so there's the daughter. And
then, yeah. So the doctor lives in a mansion which is conveniently adjacent to his clinic. Like, it's like next door. It's very funny. Actually.
Yeah.
So when the body of the corpse from the night prior gets recovered by the local authorities, Dr. Genesier confirms and identifies that the body is actually his missing daughter.
I was all sad. Because I just went in without knowledge.
Look how they massacred my little girl.
After the funeral for Christiane, Dr. Genesier hangs out with his assistant Louise, who happens to be the woman who dumped a body in the beginning. It's all coming together.
Oh, the plot is thickening.
Sinister.
And when the doctor and his assistant return back to the mansion, where the real Christiane is there, alive and in hiding.
She's been alive this whole fucking time.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, like, in the very beginning of the film, I want to point out, later on, we're going to talk a little bit about the music. The very beginning of the film, it starts off very, like,
That was kind of creepy as fuck, though. I like that.
And then as soon as we introduce to Christiane, the music tone kind of changes and it goes to like more melancholic, more sad. The music right here is something to... this is like my third, maybe fourth time watching this movie, and then I kind of notice how music plays a pretty big major part in this.
Definitely like an emotion guider.
Yeah, for sure. The music has a way of storytelling. In this one.
Yeah, and the funeral scene. Fantastic cinematography.
Yeah.
Like, whoever did that, like, the set, wherever they shot it, like, oh my god, like, this feels like gothic as fuck.
Yeah, it does. It certainly does.
I mean, the whole movie really is, but, like, that in particular, I was like, oh, I'm in for one of these experiences happening.
There's this thing, it's not exactly, like, noir, but it's, like, it definitely has, like, certain elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially, like, the use of shadows and shade and stuff like that.
Yeah, very high contrast.
Yeah, super high contrast. And, yeah, it's very beautiful photography, for sure.
Yeah, it felt a little Hitchcocky in parts, which was really nice. Yes. But, moving on here. After it is revealed that Christiane is indeed alive, Luis encourages her that her father, Dr. Genesier, is doing everything in his power to fix her disfigured face due to, of course, a recent car crash.
Yeah.
I had questions about, like, her face disfigurement. Like, it's just, like, it's so detailed. Like, it's just her face. Like, she's in
nothing
a car.
Else.
Like, I'm just like, did like, her car accident?
Yeah.
Like, it's literally, like, just
the
her face.
Yeah. Just the face.
Regular ass neck.
Yes. No neck, no shoulder injury.
Like, even just, like, her chin, like, it's, like, literally, like, I'm just, like, interesting.
She doesn't have a cast. She has a cast, like, only her, you know, fucking dad, Luis, signed it. And she's like, oh.
It's poetic. It's poetic cinema.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think about it too much for sure.
On our last episode, I'm gonna tell you what I told myself when watching Twilight. You're thinking too much. try not to understand it. Feel it. As I told Ruben for Tenet, don't try to understand it. Just feel it.
The quality disparity is notable, though, and the lacking of thinking. So, yeah.
Okay, we just talked about three very different movies. Twilight, Tenet, and Eyes Without
a Face. Wow. Movie podcast. Hey. Well, that's fun.
Well, Luis even explains, of course, how loyal she must be to her papa, since he once repaired her bodily damaged face also. He's the face doctor.
Yeah, I want to see that story. I want to learn more about Louise.
Well, like, also... She's like,
what kind of accent do you have? No, I was just ugly. Yeah. I was just ugly.
I'm just a plastic surgeon. He's just a really good plastic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, oof.
It seems like those two had, like, some kind of dynamic. They had, they might have had a history, whether if it's, like, you know, romantic or not. But I wanted to see, like, I don't know if there's... I don't think they're ever going to make a prequel to this or anything like that. But if there is, I would like to see this story.
Eyes with the face. Yeah.
Pre-op. Colon pre-op. Colon pre-op.
The eyes before the face.
Eyes before the face. There you go.
Hey.
Yeah.
Eyes before the face.
And then we can get Jean Reno to play the doctor.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's going to be younger, though. CGI.
You'll see Jim out. Yeah. Got to put on a couple.
Deep fake.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, it's also revealed that the corpse that Luis dumped in the river belonged to a woman who died following Dr. Genesier's unsuccessful attempt to graft her face onto his daughter's. Ooh, trial number one, baby. No.
Here we go.
Anyways, Dr. Genesier promises to Christiane that he will restore her face.
He will do it.
He's gonna fucking do it. Just lay in the bed. You'll be fine.
Just waste away.
In the meantime, she is encouraged to wear a mask to cover her disfigurement. He's like doing it for himself. He's like, listen, I know, I just can't look at you. It's for my sake and everybody else's. Chill out.
Just wear the world's creepiest fucking mask.
Yeah.
It was a creepy mask. Yeah. If I see, like, anybody, if I look out my window and I just see a woman just standing out there wearing that mask, I'd be like, I'm going to die.
Oh my god. If they did, like, what do you call? If in Halloween 4, it ended with Jamie actually becoming Michael Myers, her mask in 5 would look like this fucking thing.
Ooh. Damn it, Fwenser.
Yeah, but instead we got fucking Cookie
Stop
Woman.
It. Stop it. Stop it right now. Stop it right
last
now.
Last original episode, I had a thorn jab in there.
You did. You did. And I will not allow you to have another one here. Damn it.
Yeah. When Phil rolled up to the picnic yesterday, it was the cop music was playing, the clown show, it was like, burr, burr.
Stop it! Oh my god! Walked into another goddamn ambush. Yes. I'm not gonna sit here and tolerate this freaking Thorn Trilogy slander here.
You know what? There's no AC going on. I'm sweating out all the decency out of me right now. So no filter here. Anyways. After her father leaves, Christiane calls her fiancé, Jacques. Who has no idea that she's alive, by the way, and hangs up.
Yeah, poor Jacques. I know. Can you imagine? The love of your life is dead. You went to her funeral. Her dad is like, yeah, dude, you know, let me know if you need anything.
Yeah.
And then you get a phone call, and it's just like some woman breathing, and you're just like, you know, what the fuck is this? And then, you know, later on, there's going to be more phone calls. But let's talk about this here. All right, so more plot breakdown.
Yeah.
Later, we see Louise lure yet another young girl into her car and offer her a place to stay the night, which is, of course, the goddamn mansion with her and Dr. Genesier live. I cannot pronounce that name.
Genesier.
I think it is. I keep butchering it when I was writing this. I was like, the whole time I was like, how do you pronounce it?
Dr. G.
I'm just going to call him Dr. G. There you go. At the mansion, Dr. G chloroforms the shit out of this young girl, and he and Louise secretly take her downstairs to his secret laboratory.
Oh. He has a secret laboratory, like straight up like a Bond villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's
been doing some predatory shit before his doctor's face got disfigured, or his wife's, or his daughter's face got disfigured.
Before the accident of his daughter's face and stuff like that, he was a nuclear arms dealer, you know? he developed, he was the opposite of Oppenheimer. He was like, he had intentions to like blow up the entire world.
He was the Oppenheimer.
He was the Oppenheimer. He was Dr. Genesia Heimer. Genesee Heimer. I cannot pronounce that name.
It's because Dr. Strangelove was taken, right?
There you There you go. So, it is right there where Christiane, not Christian, says Christiane secretly watches all of this goes down and follows her dad and Louise downstairs, where she is greeted by a bunch of caged dogs.
These poor dogs.
I know. They were cute.
Although, you know, these are some very well-behaved, good dog actors. Good acting dogs.
Yes, they were. And at the laboratory, Dr. G successfully performs a heterograph surgery on the young woman by removing her face. That scene was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's gnarly as
fuck. That scene
when they were showing it, I was like, oh wow, this is like very graphic for the
60s. Yeah. They were straight up showing it. Yeah, they did not hold back. We're going to talk about that stuff. The controversies.
The
backlash.
Cool.
The backlash.
I figured as much, honestly.
There was backlash for sure, especially this scene right here. Hmm. The next phase would be to place the face onto her daughters, and this too is also a success. But meanwhile, the faceless and heavily bandaged girl wakes up and notices that she's being held against her will. Can you imagine waking up in a freaking laboratory by herself, wrapped up in bandages, completely faceless? That is some nightmare fuel right there.
Oh, for sure. Especially because she just wanted to rent a room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was just like, I forgot what she was getting into, but she was talking to Louise about like working and starting some kind of life or something like that.
I think she was trying to like rent a room. Like,
yeah.
She was looking for a room. Like,
wasn't she a student? Or am I confusing her with somebody else?
No, she was
a student, right? Yeah. And then, and it's right here where she finds a way to escape from the laboratory, and she makes her way into the mansion where she throws herself out of an upstairs window. She kills herself.
I was rooting for this bitch the whole time.
Yeah, I was kind
of... I thought she was going to be, like, the final girl.
Yeah.
And, like, I thought there was going to be some kind of, like, something going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, she just, like, escaped to the highest floor just so she could throw herself out.
That's exactly what happened.
I thought there was going to be, like, a manhunt or something. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be a whole, like, chase scene, like, outside, and it's like, okay, well, that's the plot of the movie now.
I think we're thinking, like, Americans about
this. We absolutely are.
Mm-hmm. I think we've seen a little too much Tarantino, Eli Roth, or, you know, Chainsaw Massacre or something like that. But then again, you're right, though, because they did set us up. Like, she wakes up and she knocks out Louise with a bottle or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, here we go. Revenge right here. And then, she just goes upstairs and kills herself.
R.I.P. just sent across.
I was like, damn, man, you could have made a bigger fight for, I don't know.
I don't have a face, I don't want to live.
Well, that's the thing. She put up a huge fight just to go kill herself?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what happened.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, well, next, we see photographs of Christiane and her new face. But unfortunately for her and Dr. G, her face grows worse and worse within days.
Ooh.
Her new tissue is being rejected and must resort to wearing the goddamn mask again. I like this transition. After Homegirl threw herself out of the stairs, like, then we fade to black and then we just go to Polaroid photos.
Yeah.
And it's just like her, and it shows like the progression of her face just deteriorating pretty much.
Dude.
And,
filmmaking.
It's really cool.
Yeah, the makeup effects for sure, even for 1960s, it looked pretty gnarly.
It looks real as fuck sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that scene too because, like, everyone's like, the doctor's like patting himself on the back and he's just like, oh, I have succeeded. I did this. Ha 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 ha. And then, he like looks at her face and like realizes like how like red her cheeks are. And that's when he's just like, I have failed and blah, blah, blah. And then that's when it cuts to the Polaroids and like him, like, voicing over like day 5 or like February 10th, February 15th, February 20th, and it's just like her face progressively becoming more and more necrotic. Mm-hmm. Which, like, also for her, it's gotta hurt like a motherfucker. Like, your face just straight up going necrotic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm, that's a, oof. It's like that's rotting on her
face.
You know, regular face.
Yeah, that's gotta suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and it is here where Christiane calls her fiance once again, but this time only to whisper his name. Damn, can you imagine being Jacques there?
Just a breath.
Yeah. Jacques. And you're just like, dude, what the fuck, man? Whoever's doing this, like, I'm depressed. Like, my fiance's dead. Leave me alone.
Yeah, so after the mysterious phone call, Jacques decides to report this to the police, who have been investigating the disappearance of several young women with blue eyes and similar facial characteristics. Now, the eyes, I'm just like, why do they all have to have the same eye color? Yeah. He's not taking the eyes.
Yeah. That's true. That's very true. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
I'm thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
That's funny. It's funny. When you read it out like this, it sounds like the Night Stalker case almost.
Oh, yeah.
Call on the phone. Women looking pretty similar, fucking disappearing out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So after the police gain a lead to a woman who wears a pearl choker, Jock immediately recognizes her as Louise.
Oh.
Meanwhile, another young woman named Paulette is picked up by Louise and is delivered to Dr. Genesier. Mm. I love that the police pretty much forced this woman to go undercover.
Yeah. I didn't put that here in the script, but yeah, they were like, hey, dude, you got accused of we booked you in for shoplifting.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, so now you're going to, you know, go check yourself in this clinic, and then, you know, hopefully you can get us something here.
They coerced her into it.
Yeah.
They totally were like, yo. Because
he was like, cut the broad loose, like, pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then, like, they're like, but write down her address in case we need her again. Yeah. And it turns out they did.
Yeah.
You don't want a minor fine, you're going to be a spy now.
Yep.
Spy.
Yep. Behind enemy lines. Bridge of spies.
So, after Paulette is chloroformed and brought to Dr. Genesier's laboratory, surgery is about to begin when Dr. Genesier is interrupted by Louise, who tells him that the police are here and would like to speak to him. Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
While he speaks with the cops, it is here that Christiane, who has been losing her sanity from all the guilt and isolation, finally takes a stand against her father's experiments.
Mm.
She decides to free Paulette and murders Louise by stabbing her in the frickin' neck.
Mm, that was a good stab, too. Yeah,
yeah,
I like that one.
Get her.
Yeah.
Get her.
I mm-hmm. thought she was just going to go for the chest, but then it cuts to yeah. Louise, and it's like straight in yeah. the pearl choker. I was yeah. like, God damn.
Yeah. Poetic justice.
Seriously. Like, yeah. right where her scar is.
Right where her scar is at. Exactly.
Wipe yourself off, you're bleeding.
That's good. Wipe yourself off, man. You did.
She's like, some apple? Sorry, gotta do two rush
hours.
Oh
my god,
back.
Two rush hours.
Time.
Put that boy bitch before you have an accident.
Alright,
last
oh my
one.
God.
Last one.
Oh, I hope so.
We're talking about cinema here. I mean, so are you. Like,
yeah, so are we, though.
So after Dr. Genesier is finished speaking with the police, he goes back downstairs to his lab. And this is where Christiane manages to free all the dogs that he was experimenting on and the doves. And the dogs revolt against Dr. Genesier and maul him to death. And again, another moment of poetic justice, disfigure his face.
Mm. Oh, we got Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah.
He did. Oh, wow. He did.
We got Ramsay Bolton. Yeah. He fucking deserves it.
Yeah. This moment was cool, too, because you can tell that, like, it's, like, a stunt actor wearing so much padding.
Yeah.
And the dogs
yeah.
are,
yeah.
like, on him. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool, though. Like, dog actors.
The stunt actor, like, purposely has, like, his arm, like, in front of him, like, as in, like, bite here, dog. You're gonna bite here.
Well, it's also, like, a German Shepherd, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's still gotta not feel
good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, completely unfazed by her father's death, Christiane slowly walks into the woods by the mansion with one of the freed doves in her hand.
I like the music in this scene. She's walking away.
Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Finn. Fiend. Finn. Finito. Oh, that's Italian, right? Shit. It's not French.
Oh,
oh
that's
man.
Great.
Well, yeah, that's the story. That's the plot breakdown.
Mm-hmm. And that's correct, Diane. We all wear masks. Metaphorically speaking. Didn't deliver it the same way as the French, but it's fine.
You understand the reference, right? From The Mask.
Is it from The Mask? Oh,
The Mask, Jim Carrey.
My God.
Like, and was it Ben Stein? He's like, that's correct, Diane. We all wear masks, metaphorically speaking.
I hate Ben Stein so much.
And then Jim Carrey does the same thing in the mirror with holding the mask. Like, that's right, Diane.
Who was I talking? I was talking to someone. Oh, my coworker, like, straight up ran into Ben Stein at a restaurant.
Oh,
wow.
Turns out he was like a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, what's your friend's name?
My coworker?
Oh, coworker. All right. Let's not drop names here.
Yeah.
I thought it was a friend. Hi, coworker. How you doing? I hear you're friends of Alex Webster. She's a good host of the Horrible People's Podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
But I'm more fond of Phil. He loves the Thorne trilogy. I too also love the Thorne trilogy. Okay. There you go.
Best on Wood.
Bueller. Webster. Webster. Webster.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, Ben Stein. He would have bad fucking taste. Anyway, so Eyes Without a Face is based on a novel by Jean Renoir. Hey.
I think he did it.
At the time, horror films had not been attempted by French filmmakers yet. As in, of course, other regions like good old America, horror films were already taking off with the likes of Dracula, The Mummy, and Invasion of the Body Snatchers. That's mm-hmm. right. Of course, French film producer Jules Borkin.
Borkin?
Borkin?
Or like maybe it's Borkin? I don't know. I'm terrible at French.
Borkin? Okay.
I have no idea.
decided to tap into the genre and bought the rights to the novel and hired documentary director Georges Franchou. Wow, a documentary director. That's smart.
Yeah.
That's very fucking smart.
This is his first feature film, too. He's always just done documentaries.
That's really cool. Yeah. He went full Craven on that one there. Mm-hmm. Hey. Craven did porn, though. Was up to the challenge.
Hold on. What?
Yeah, Wes Craven.
Wes Craven directed porn?
That's what he did before horror.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had no idea of this. Yeah.
Listen to our Last House on the Left episode for more on that one.
Wow, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way I can, like, you know, watch these somewhere?
The internet is a vast resource.
I'm going to look for these. Just
for research.
Research purposes. Yeah. Audience for research purposes. Yeah.
That's where he got that dialogue.
is that a Dutch angle?
Well, never before I've seen such a Dutch angle of someone's asshole. So well shot. So Franchou was up to the challenge. Very interesting pivot there. And he felt that the story was not so much a horror film, but described his vision for Eyes Without a Face as one of anguish. It's a quieter mood than horror, more eternal, more penetrating. It's horror in homeopathic doses. Wow, I didn't even read ahead.
Relevant to our, like,
that's funny.
To our jokes
we were right just, there. Yeah. That went really well together.
That was
beautiful.
Okay. Penetrating, one would say.
Oh, man. Internal. homeopathic. Oh, man. Well, I'm going to continue here. My headline says, "You are what the French call les incompétents." And that is how I learned how to speak French, is from Kevin McAllister's little sister. Production for Eyes Without a Face was underway as Franchou had assembled his cast, crew, script, and locations.
Hey.
However, producer John... I'm sorry, that's the novel writer... And, but I meant to put, what's his name? Borkin. Yeah. A little typo. Producer Borkin advised Franchou to not include so much blood because that would upset the French censors. Refrain from animals getting tortured because that would upset the English censors. And leave out the mad scientist character because that would upset the German censors.
Nice.
So, yeah, pretty much the producers wanted to pretty much have this movie please all of Europe.
Oh, great. You know?
So, Franchou...
60 years, martyrs.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
And, yeah. So, Franchou and his screenwriters were left in a bit of a pickle with all these requests because they had every intention to staying as true to the source material as possible. They were big fans of the novel. From, like, according to Wikipedia and this one video that I watched, Franchou was like, "Nah, fuck that, dude. We're just gonna go. We're just gonna do it. Yeah. They're pretty much like, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness and permission. So they're just like, they went in with that mentality. And by some miracle, Franchou and his crew disregarded Borkin's request and went ahead and shot the film anyway. And by some miracle, later on, as it's being released, it's already edited, it's already shot, it's ready for distribution, right? By some miracle, Eyes Without a Face was cleared from all European censors and moved forward with the release, regardless of some controversy, as audiences praised the film, while others were disgusted by it.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu! Damn it. I should have put that in the script. Sacre bleu. Thank you, Fwinster. Thank you. So this is where we're going to talk a little bit about reception.
Hey.
Yeah.
I can't feel my face when I'm with you, but I like it. But I like it.
I love your impression of The Weeknd. It's a song from The Weeknd. I was trying to put face puns in these headlines here.
No, I wasn't going to sing it.
Yeah. I can't feel my face when I'm with you. There you go.
Yeah. It's but I like it because I see.
Oh my god. Webster, take it away, please. How did people receive this movie?
So, Eyes Without a Face sits on the tomato meter with a whopping 97% with an 87% audience score.
Fucking 13% prudes.
However, at the time of its release, French audiences were somewhat moderate, ranging from mild enthusiasm, mid, as the kids today would say, as far as I'm aware, to general disappointment, as it was claimed to be either a repetition of German Expressionism or simply a disappointing leap from genre to genre from an inexperienced director.
Harsh. Yeah. Well,
I liked it with the face, actually.
Eyes with the face.
Eyes with the face, maybe? Can we do that?
The English Monthly Film Bulletin said, quote, "When a director as distinguished as Georges Franju makes a horror film, one cannot feel tempted to search for symbols and allegory, layers, or interpretation. Unhappily, there is practically nothing in this inept work to offer any encouragement for doing so," unquote. God damn.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, English Monthly Film Bulletin.
Yeah. Hey, can you imagine? He was all like, well, when a director as distinguished as Georges Franju makes a horror film. I cannot do English.
I can't do English
accents. Although I did see this one guy do English... He's an English guy, and he did Alfred from the Dark Knight trilogy, but quoting Sopranos references. So he's like, "Yo, gabagool and orange juice, Master Wayne. I notice that you prefer the one that says some pope." But his Michael Caine impression is really good, though. It's super good.
Not as good as the Crow / Will Sasso.
Robert De Niro. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, that is so good.
So let's check out some Letterboxd reviews. Eyes Without a Face has a 3.9 stars based out of 72,000 ratings. Holy shit.
That's a banger. Mm-hmm. Hey. Nice. All right.
Yeah, I found some pretty good ones.
Way
too.
To go, nerds.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. Lauren with 4.5 stars says, quote, "This girl has no face but turf bangs, not clickbait."
That's hilarious. She did have nice hair. She did have nice hair.
I mean, she had very French, like, she had, like, yes. the French bob, mm-hmm. and, like, yeah, she did have turf bangs.
She's still alive, too. She's still with us.
Really?
She's, like, in her 80s, I believe.
Wow. Oh, shit.
Yeah, or pushing 90.
Was she super young when this movie
Yeah, happened? I think she was, like, not even 20.
Yeah, she had turf bangs. Super young.
Yeah, she's still with us.
Yeah. That's really cool. Zara, with 3.5 stars, says, quote, "That feel when you just want to die and your parents won't let you. Uber relatable."
That's funny.
Oh, that's
damn.
Great.
I know, that poor girl's just like, "I just want to die." And then, like, her dad's assistant is just like, "No, darling, you can't." It's just like, all right.
Your father's going to fix it, goddammit.
Nobody's nailed the face transplant yet. Yeah. We're so close to getting the science down on this. If you can just live for a little longer.
And we need to kill a few more girls.
Mm-hmm. We're thinking we have an eye theory here, if they're the same color. Maybe it'll
not
reject
it,
but...
Right. Good Lord. I mean, I guess that kind of made sense, because in the beginning he gave this whole speech where it's like they have to kind of look similar, like maybe that's why with the blue eyes thing, but like, I don't know.
I don't understand it. Now that you pointed it out, I'm just like, what's up with the blue eyes? Like, you're not going to need them. Like, is it facial features is mostly what you're looking for here, but I don't know.
He's like, I'm trying to recreate it.
I am
thinking about it too much. What does the French say? Je ne sais pas.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, as Kevin McAllister's little sister would say, les incompetents.
Tyler Lantern with 4.5 stars says, quote, "This music sounded like it was from a pizzeria game," which was pretty funny. No, it didn't.
I kind of thought it kind of did.
From a pizzeria game?
No, it's the music in Mario 64 when you go in the haunted house underneath. With all the ghosts.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I also thought it kind of sounded like what's it called? Oh my God, Larry David, the show.
Oh yeah, Kirby Enthusiasm.
Kirby Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom.
Larry loses his face.
He's like, "Hey, it's my fucking face here. Hey, yeah, sure.
Can you make it look like myself again? Can I get a new face? Maybe it look better.
Maybe it look better. Can you give me the face of Ryan Gosling?"
That's not my ethnicity. I can't pull that face off. That's not.
Ultimate Kenergy.
Kenergy. Yeah. Kenergy for sure.
Yeah. And Josh Lewis says with 4 stars, quote, "If Bride of Frankenstein went face off mode."
Alright.
Yeah.
That's exactly the movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Have you guys seen Face Off?
Oh, absolutely.
Alright. Speaking of Face Off, I recently showed Savannah Face Off. She'd never seen it.
I haven't either.
She was getting mad anxiety. She's like, "I can't do this." And I'm like, "Whoa, what's up?" I'm like, "You alright?" And she's like, "This fucking movie is insane." And I'm like, "Oh, do you want water or something?" And I'm like, "I've never seen a reaction to Face Off like this." And she's like, "I just can't handle this right now. This shit is like this shit." And I'm like, "That fucking John Woo, man."
I know.
And plus, there is an actual surgery scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which, by the way, Nicolas Cage, the scene where he's walking around without a face and he's watching the surgery. And he's got a cigarette in his mouth. And he's like, "Oh, bravo. Fucking bro." And then the surgeon says, "What do you want?" And he looks right at him, like, faceless. He's like, "I'll give you one goddamn fucking guess," or whatever he said.
Well, now I just want to watch Face Off.
Oh, my yeah, God. Yeah, Face Off rules.
It's such a good movie.
Face Off is one of those, like, high-octane action movies of the 90s.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It came around the same time as, like, Speed, Con Air, The Rock. Mm-hmm. Michael Bay's The Rock, not Dwayne. Face Off is a sick-ass... it's also a sci-fi flick too.
It's
super sci-fi as fuck. Well, not just the face swapping, but also the fucking futuristic prison that they're mm-hmm. in. And it's a sick ass movie. But yeah,
it's like old filmmaking that every scene has stakes.
Yeah,
it just doesn't let up.
It's directed by John Woo. John Woo comes from like Hong Kong, like action films of like the 80s and 90s. John Woo directs the fuck out of Face Off. Like, it's insanely well shot, and it's high octane action.
But
back to this little Bride of Frankenstein meets Face Off. Yeah, really, really well described.
We should have also did Eyes Without a Face versus Face Off, just to let people know how movies
two completely different ass movies, but I'm down.
But involving face swap.
So you could have called the episode Eyes Without a Face Off.
I was just gonna ask, like, with Barbie and Oppenheimer, everyone's crossing them over with Barbenheimer, like, what would we call this?
Eyes Without a Face Off.
That would have been a perfect portmanteau.
Eyes Without a Face Off. Wow.
Yes.
Damn.
Just came up with the baby.
Yeah.
Only had one coffee today. Yeah.
I've had none. We should zerk this.
Both of them. Let the bros watch both of them and compare.
That's a hell of a double feature right there. I love that.
Be so turnt by Face Off, though, because we're gonna have to start with this one.
We can't
start with Face Off and then do this movie.
Yeah. No. We gotta lead up to the Flying Doves and Nick Cage. the Nick Cage as a priest.
Oh my God! If they remade this with Nick Cage as the fucking doctor,
we might have something there.
We might have something there.
Dang.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. I like this.
All right.
Can we pause for a restroom break?
Yes. I need more water.
Please. All right. Hey, we did it as far as discussion time. I hope you guys had fun with that. But that was not discussion time. That was plot breakdown. Now we're in discussion time. That was cool. Real quick, thoughts on your guys on Eyes Without a Face? Webster, go first.
Yeah.
I really liked this movie. I liked it. The one thing that I kind of, so I took French for 4 years, and I'm really, really out of practice. So the one thing that I kept getting distracted from the audio and the subtitles because I kept picking up words in the audio where I was just like, I knew what they were saying, but then the subtitles, I would get distracted, which I wasn't expecting to happen because I haven't watched anything in French in a super long time. Which was interesting, but I really like French stuff. Like, I like French extremity films. This was super fun. The pacing is like, it's different. The, like, I talked about it before we were recording, but the audio or like the score also is a little different, and like it's very quiet. It has this like crime horror vibe to it where it's like there's like a lot of lulls where it's like there's not a lot of dialogue where you're just supposed to be like watching what happens, which is why I shouldn't have watched it last night, because I fell asleep. Not because the movie was boring, but I was just exhausted. And then I was telling Anthony, I like wanted to make it like this whole cinematic experience. Like, I turned off all my lights and like, and it was just a recipe for disaster. And I was just like, I laid down to watch it. And
oh no, that's the fucking immediately
right there. Like, I had to watch most of the movie this morning because I almost immediately fell asleep.
Yeah.
You're all cuddled with the pillow.
That's exactly what happened. I had a pillow and then I was like, this is so comfortable. This movie is so cool. Like, I liked the movie. I was just like, oh yeah. It took an hour and a half nap and was just like, well, time to watch this in the morning, I guess. But I did really enjoy it. I thought the concept was really cool. I overall really enjoyed it. Anthony?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, this movie's fucking great. I actually did what you intended to do. So I had some wine. Mm. I slapped the projector. I got the projector working without the sound all fucked up. So turns out our speakers are overheating because it's so hot.
Oh, man.
So if you listen or watch it for too long, it starts crackling.
Oh,
so I pointed the fan towards the speakers. Baby, I got a whole fucking movie screening going on right there. So I was sweating a little bit, but you know what? I was fine. Because I was watching my room and the subtitles were there. I'm like, no. I'm going to have to really pay attention here. Do the whole theatrical thing. Had some wine. Had some snacks. Chilled out. Fucking a mate. Like, this is a good theater experience. It feels like it would be because it's such a good, well-shot movie. It's paced nice. The story's very simple. Yeah. There's nothing too crazy about the story here.
Yeah.
And brutal. When it, you know, it's not always brutal, but when it gets brutal, it gets like, holy shit. Like, they try to make this look real.
Insanely brutal face swap scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's intense. Especially for the 60s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, a whole mind, I'm thinking in context, I'm like, this is way more than I'm sure most people at the time, like, would have expected. This was like them watching, like, fucking Cabin Fever or Hostel or something. They're just... probably blown away by this shit.
That is exactly what happened. Like, when I was pulling up info on this, like, when they dropped it, once they got, like the director and the producer were like, there's no way they're going to ask us to just freaking pretty much butcher this film, like, cut so much, take out so much. They were anticipating all of that, and then, like, all these, like, organizations and censorship and back in Europe in the 60s were like, no, green light, we're good. And they're like, what? We have to cut nothing? And they're like, no, you guys are good. Shit. And I was like, okay, everybody. Well, I wasn't, but everybody was like, you know, filmmakers. The filmmakers were just like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I guess we're moving. We got a movie, and but audiences at the time were just not ready. They were just like, this is gross. This is like pornography. Like, what the fuck is this? And some people thought it was cool, but a lot of people, especially in France, they were.
In the words of Marty McFly. I guess you guys weren't ready for that, but your kids are going to love it.
Exactly! That's beautiful.
Oh.
That is so good.
Oh, that was really, really good. That's,
okay. Wow, Webster? Yeah, okay. That was a clean one right I was there. Like, where are you going with this? Back to the Future. I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, shit.
Also, Crispin Glover would do great in the remake as the Doctor as well. He would fucking kill.
He would look more like a mad scientist.
He would look like a guy that can successfully cut off a face at least. I think he definitely pulls that vibe off. That's for
just,
sure.
Yeah, he just looks like that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not even a doctor.
He can go up to somebody, you'd be like, hey, Louise, pass me that scalpel, please.
You have beautiful eyes.
Oh, dude, that is hilarious. And then like, and then when the facial surgery goes like, you know, successful, he would be like,
oh, no, officer, you leave.
What is Crispin Glover doing these days?
I mean,
the last thing I saw him in anything, it was this movie with him and a whole bunch of rats.
Wilfred,
there you go. That was like the last time I seen him in it, and that was like 20 years ago.
That was a long time. I didn't even watch that movie.
I don't think I saw it.
In the commercials.
Yeah, I think I remember.
It would be a bad one to cover. We could figure that one out.
Yeah, you know what? 2003.
Yeah.
2003? Okay.
It's been a long bit of time.
Yeah, 20 years ago, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I remember it was like a whole bunch of CGI rats, too.
Yeah.
I remember, well, like for the long shots, for the wide shots. I remember in the trailer, like the elevator opens and a whole bunch of rats comes out and he walks out, too. Like, he's like a rat man, pretty much. Yeah. But anyways. Yeah.
He's been in stuff.
I haven't seen him in anything lately. I miss that guy.
Yeah.
Cool dude.
Oh, you remember the 2007 motion capture Beowulf?
Mm-hmm.
He was in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
I saw that movie once also.
I saw it once too.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to see Angelina Jolie's ass,
mm-hmm.
but I think it was somebody else's. And it was all CGI, but I was like, all right.
Oh, he was in, he was in Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
Really?
He was.
Oh, I didn't watch that either.
Okay.
I watched
some. I never finished them.
Yeah, though. He was in American Gods.
I don't think I saw that one.
We've been missing the Glover train.
Yeah.
You guys aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
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 Oh, sure.
We're sleeping on Glover, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's been in some stuff. Like, nothing that, like, I immediately recognize, but...
Yeah.
Well, back to this movie.
Anyways, back to... all right. I guess it's my turn for thoughts?
Yeah.
I love it. First time I saw this was, like, about 10 years ago. It was... I got it on a Blu-ray copy on the Criterion Collection. And it was at Barnes & Noble, 50% off, which is currently happening right now. The half-off sales on all Criterion Flicks.
Former employer, I can walk up in there.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble?
I used to work at Barnes & Noble.
You worked at a Barnes & Noble?
I worked at Barnes & Noble before college. Yeah.
Oh, which one?
The one in Corona, Crossings.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah,
I did not notice.
I worked in the video section for a little bit, and also the cafe.
Nice.
I started drinking coffee because of Barnes & Noble.
Oh, wow.
They're like, you need to have some of these drinks so you know what to recommend to people. I'm like... Coffee. I never have coffee, and I was like, "Oh my lord,
a whole new world." That's awesome. That's cool.
Okay, 50% off. There you go. Those were great sales.
Oh yeah, no, I go there as much as I can, but my wallet's like, "Yo, man, what the fuck."
Chill, man.
Chill, dude. So yeah, Eyes Without a Face. I love this film. It's kind of like a comfort film to throw on. It's beautiful. It's really, it really is a beautiful shot. There's a list of like, I don't know the cinematographer's name, but I thought he was fucking incredible. And the use of the camera movement itself, the storytelling. Dude, for a first time director, I don't know what else he did after this, but I think he directed the hell out of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
What the English film bulletin guy said about how there's no allegory, there's no layers for interpretation, there's no symbols and stuff like that. I don't think there was any intention for that.
Yeah.
I just think they wanted to make like a, you know, point A, point B horror film, and it worked. You can look for these allegories and these metaphors in there if you want. Like, for instance, the way I interpret Christiane's POV is like, you know, she wants to see the beauty of the world through her eyes, except she can't show her own beauty, and that's what's tormenting her.
That's a good thing.
Why she stays hidden and she wants to die and she wants because like she's, you know, losing a face, that's gotta do a lot, you know. Like, if I were to lose my beautiful, handsome face, perfectly chiseled face, I would probably be, you know, torn apart too.
You'd be burning through a lot more Criterion movies.
Yeah, for sure. No. Yeah, but Eyes Without a Face, it fucking rules. I love it, man. It's an incredible piece of cinema, honestly. Like, when it comes to like. I remember the first time I laid eyes on this movie, I was like in my Criterion. Wow, that was pun unintended. That was no pun intended in that one. Wow, I caught that.
The first time I laid eyes on this movie, my face filled with joy.
Oh my god, that's so funny. When I first watched it, this was like 2013, 2014. Criterion Collection Phil was already born at this time, and like the snobbiness was really coming out. He's like, yes, have you heard of a French wave film called Eyes Without a Face? Came out in the '60s. And France. You probably never heard of it. I was that guy.
Oh yeah.
10 years ago.
You were.
It was gross. It was gross. It was not my proudest moment.
You're not that guy anymore, huh?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not that guy anymore. It's a French film from the 1960s, black and white. You probably never heard of it. It's okay.
Yeah, it's a long time
ago. it's a beautiful film, and I recommend it. I would always recommend this film, honestly, because it's short, it's easy to understand, and its time has passed and it's dated and stuff like that. But there's nothing. Dated in a bad way to a point where it's like, okay. Like for instance, I watched The Blob, the 50s one.
Yeah.
Recently, I think it was this season, right? Yeah. The Blob.
Yeah.
And that is heavily dated in more ways than one, right?
Yes.
And with this, it's like it's a different kind of dated. You know, it's where it's like it feels almost timeless. You know?
I would say that for sure. It's a good time capsule to what it really was made. And it kind of still has that Hitchcockian pace and flair, too.
The quality.
Makes it very watchable.
Absolutely.
It makes it very watchable, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the French in the 60s with cinema, they were really taking off, dude. Like, with Breathless and Breathless is another French... It's not a horror at all, but, like, they were, like, really producing all these films a lot. And... a lot of them you can find on the Criterion Collection. And there's
Phil's advertising the Criterion Collection right here. No, it's not that much.
All right, well, those are my thoughts right here. I had one fun question, and I'm gonna let you guys think about this one for a second, so I can go first if you guys need me to. But here's the question: you wake up faceless in a laboratory. You have one opportunity to escape, but you're gonna need a face to go out into the public and stuff like that. Right? The only two available faces are those of your co-hosts. Which face are you going to take? And while you're at it, what are you going to do for the rest of the day wearing your co-host's face?
Oh, shit.
If you need time to think about it,
I'll go first.
All right, I wake up in a laboratory, faceless. I'm like, whoa, where's my fucking face? And where's and it's empty, right? Dr. G is not there. Louise is not there. Nobody's there, right? But you're just like, I got to get the fuck out of here, you know? Mm-hmm. But I need a face, dude. I see your guest's face right there, like just floating on water or something, like, pick one, or something, you know, it's hovering right there, right? And so I'm just like, okay, so I'm going to go with Webster's face. And here's why. There's a little funny story to it right here. I'm going to go with Webster's face. Keep in mind, this is like a magic face. Once you put it on, you're that person, okay? Yeah. Everything, hair, everything's the same, right?
If I'm going to look... have a face in water.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like in Face Off. They change faces, but like everything else is still, like, you know, they're still... So except the voice. We'll have fun with the voice. So I put on Webster's face, right? I go about my day, you know, and then all of a sudden, here comes Ruben, turning tables Ruben. He goes, hey, Webster, what's up? I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? And he's like, oh, what's up with your voice? I'm like, oh, shit, my voice. I'm like, oh, sore throat. And then she's like, and he was like, okay, cool. Anyways, we going to this Fall Out Boy concert tonight still or what? And I'm like, wait, what? And then things don't go the way I plan it. I end up, I was going to go, you know, just do something else. Like, go about my day as Webster. But no, I'm going to yet another Fall Out Boy concert. And then I'm just like, hell yeah, dude. And then, like, Ruben's like, hell yeah, dude. Dance. And I was like, yeah, dude. Yeah. And then, that's my story.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like it because you know what? I'm also choosing Webster's face.
Oh!
I'm going to be knocked out, wake up. Mm-hmm. I get two-face options. Obviously, nobody's there.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is, you know, I'm going to see both of them. But I have already spent most of my life as a brown boy.
I was going to say, someone is going to be a white woman.
So I'm going to be a white woman for a day. I'm going to be a white woman for a fucking day. I'm not even going to have to hit anybody. I'm going to look like Webster, walk out and be like, excuse me, where's the fucking exit at? Like, there's little things like there. I'm going to try different white girl criteria, too. I'm going to be like the ditzy white girl. I'm going to be in Santa Monica a little bit. I'm going to go Karen. I'm going to do Karen at least once or twice.
You have to at least once.
I want to see the power. And again, if there's any kind of like videotaping or accountability, it's her. I'm fine.
There you go.
I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm going to be getting free drinks and shit. Like, I'm going to do as much stuff as I can.
I love it.
I'm going to go full like activist white girl. I'm going to go a little alt-right. Like, maybe we shouldn't, you know, even be able to vote white girl. Like, I'm going to do the whole...
I'm going to go like full trad wife.
Yeah,
like,
I'm going full trad wife.
You're going to destroy her character. Sure. Oh, man.
Like... I look like this. You know that, right?
You know what? Different wigs.
There you go.
Different wigs, you know? I'm not going to know how to apply makeup, But maybe some YouTube tutorial or something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I'll YouTube is there. YouTube is there.
I don't either. I'm going full white girl. And I'm going to just see how much free shit I can get.
There you go.
And it's going to be great.
I have the perfect song for your montage right here.
Oh, yeah.
You're walking down the sidewalk doing all this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just keep thinking, raindrops keep falling on my head.
There's a little voiceless me at Target. You're just like.
Yeah. You see a crime happening, and instead you're just like Peter Parker and just continue with your hot dog and walk away.
See a crime happening, and you're just like, not my business.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then like it freeze frames to like you having a good time, like as Webster. Have you ever seen Darkman? Sam Raimi's Darkman?
Mm-mm. Been a long time.
All right, do you remember at the very end? It's also a facial movie, mm-hmm. right? Liam Neeson is Darkman, right? Sam Raimi's Darkman, which we got to cover someday. I love those movies.
That's a great That's a good one.
So at the very end, Liam Neeson, he gets a whole new face, right? And at the very end, the very last shot, he's disguising himself, but there's a voiceover of Liam Neeson. He's like, "Who am I? I'm Dark Man." And he turns around, and it's not Liam Neeson. It's Bruce Campbell. And it's like he's got a whole new face, but it freeze frames, and he just goes, he looks right into the camera, and he just like, it freezes, and then fades to black, and then cuts credits. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome. This is what I'm picturing you. You're getting away with all this shit now as Webster. You look into the camera, freeze frame, fades to black, cut credits, boom.
Damn.
I love it.
Who am I? White woman.
I thought you were just going to say Webster.
I'm Webster.
I'm Webster.
I'm Webster.
Anyways, yeah. Webster, I was not expecting the two of us to pick you.
No. All right,
who are you picking?
I am picking Phil, I think.
Do it. Mattel, baby.
Oh, fuck. Oh, hell yeah. It's an upgrade. Definitely an upgrade.
Just so that I can... just lift heavy for the day.
Oh my god! So it's not just face. Like when I say it's a magic face. Yeah, you also get the capabilities of that character too.
She wants those arms. It's not about his face. Is fine. I'm here for the fucking arms.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. I just want to lift heavy for the day, man.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you don't want this life, Webster.
I could pick you and then just like make you stronger for the day.
Yes, sure. You're like, I'm picking you to help you out.
I'm doing you a favor.
You could walk to Mattel wearing a Hasbro T-shirt. You could walk into my place and you could be like, or play with Transformers.
No, I'm gonna walk wearing a Hasbro T-shirt and then post on all of your socials about a disparaging essay about how much you hate Paddington 2.
Wait a goddamn minute now, Webster. Hold on now.
She can face ID. She can get to your phone.
Oh yeah, we didn't even implement that into our stories here. Yeah, that's right. Dang, that's hilarious.
I could do one of your classic, Instagram things where it's just like, hey guys, listen, I know I talk a lot about Paddington 2, but here's the thing. It fucking sucks.
Oh my god.
I'm a Paddington poser. I'm a Paddington poser.
You're crossing the fucking lines here, dude.
He just said he wanted to commit crimes.
I know.
That's me.
That's funny.
Wanted to get away with crimes. Yeah.
Getting away with murder. Dude, that's hilarious.
Working my way downtown.
Another famous white woman.
Yeah.
Cool. I get to drive the Charger too. I'm being a piece of shit on that road.
Oh, dude, it's like Gordon in the freaking Batmobile.
I'm sorry, officer. Yeah, getting away with it.
And he's like, roll down the window. The officer rolls down the window. He's like, you're okay. You're okay. All right, just slow it down next time, okay? You have a great day.
Just cleavages it.
Oh, yeah, the cleavage privilege also. Yeah. It all works out.
That's hilarious. That's so good.
Oh, we had a good time with that. That
was
a good question.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only fun question I had for this because I thought about it. Because I was like, well, let's have a fun question. That is like the only one I thought about at the time. But
that's a good one.
But yeah. Well, anything else? Let's rate Eyes Without a Face out of 5 face swaps.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
Sure.
Winsor?
4.5.
Four and a half?
Four and a half. Wow.
I think it's a great movie. It's not perfect, but also it's really fucking good. Eh, maybe four, actually. I think about 4.5 is kind of high. Mm-hmm. 4. It's a solid 4. Yeah, I would say that. I definitely watched it again. Easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to see more shit like this.
Yeah.
It's a really goddamn good movie. Yeah. Solid 4, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Webster.
I'm going to give it 3.5 creepy masks.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. This is a perfectly fun, super cool movie. I think also people need, like, I know that there are people who just, like, straight up won't watch either not English movies or black and white movies, which I think is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But I think that people would be doing themselves a disservice to not check it out if you're a horror fan. I think it really is foundational in a very similar way, like to like slashers. In the same way that like because you said in the outline like even earlier that a lot at the same time like. Dracula, The Mummy were all coming out around this time, and those were really foundational to monster movies, right? I think this is very foundational to like the slasher formula because that I was thinking about that earlier
when
you mentioned this doesn't have to, you don't have to find like motifs and symbolism. Like, this is just a very cut and dry horror movie. So, yeah, I think it's super fun. So, 3.5.
I'm kind of conflicted with mine. I kind of want to say 4.25 or 4.5 or somewhere like that. First time I saw this movie, like 10 years ago, the snobby film buff Phil was like, 5 out of fucking 5 because no one's seen this movie.
I'm so cool.
No, but like now it's like, you know, this is probably like my 3rd or 4th time seeing it. And each time I see it, I get the same reaction. It's like, yeah, it's a comfort like go-to flick where it's like, point A to point B, like no ifs, ands, or buts, nothing complicated, there's really no bigger picture to look at, and sometimes, you know, you just need something to throw that on. It's not really much of a background film.
No.
I'm not trying to make,
you have to, it's, unless you know French.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true, actually. I didn't think about that, yeah. But yeah, no, it's definitely a film where it's like, if, like, when I found it on HBO Max the other day, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Max. I was like, oh, shit, they have Eyes Without a Face on Max. Okay, cool. It was like, and that's where I started, like, you know, suggesting it for this episode and stuff. And, yeah, it's a, I love it. It's really, the pacing is cool. The characters are really cool.
Yeah.
I actually like Louise a lot.
She's a hostage.
Yeah, she. I want to learn more about her, and if somebody wants to make a prequel about it, I'd be down.
Eyes before the face.
Dude, that's
a good one.
That's not bad at all. I love
good time
it.
With this title, haven't we?
Yeah. I'm telling you, this double feature, the Eyes Without a Face Off.
Oh, dude, we can do
damn.
It.
Damn.
We can do it.
But yeah, I'm going to stick with... I'm gonna go with 4.25 because I'm conflicted between 4 or 4.5, but I'm gonna go 4.25.
Let's do it. I'm with it.
Yeah.
That's all right, guys. That's it for this week, and also for our last proper episode for season 5.
Damn.
Holy shit.
Hey. That's what takes on the finish line, Phil.
Thank you.
Next week, we are doing, per tradition for our season finale, we are doing a horror roundup of horror in 2023. So you can expect to hear us give some reviews of some movies that we've already talked about. And just kind of talk about movies that are coming up and just what we're looking forward to. And we're also going to have some guests. Our friends from Turning Tables will be joining us.
All right.
What is this, a crossover episode?
Yes.
What?
And they will be helping us out and discussing all things horror with us. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. If you like what you heard, please make sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening and leave us a rating or review as well if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes. And if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And you can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Uh-huh.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. And you can find Phil on YouTube and Instagram at Phil Acevedo. And then if you want to check out the network, you can check out other awesome pop culture podcasts that we put on at the Horrible People's Network, which is HORRORBLE People's Network.
Yay, yay.
So until then, don't get into cars with women that are trying to rent you rooms. It just seems suspicious.
No matter how cool the mansion looks.
But Louise is kind of hot, though. I might do it.
Bye.